The Money Show. Business Books.
Bronwyn Williams is never shy of having a good argument. Bronwyn Williams is trend translator and future finance specialist at Flux Trends. She's been reading a book called Conflicted by an author called Ian Leslie. But it's not just this book. You've generally been looking at books on conflict and argument and negotiation. What has inspired this particular flurry, Bronwyn? Because you do read faster and absorb faster than anyone else I know.
Well, I suppose it's a good time to figure out how to argue. If we start to look at the world around us, there's arguments everywhere. I was listening in on your conversation just before, and that's essentially what you're trying to get through, is you're trying to persuade certain people of your worldview, and they're trying to persuade you that they are right, right? So surely these are skills that we should be learning, so that we're not necessarily taken in by bad arguments on the one hand, but also that we're able to be more effective at getting our points across. So that's why I've been looking at the subject at large. And Ian Leslie is, of course, a far less argumentative soul than myself. So I thought I'd start with his book, Conflicted, Why Arguments Are Tearing Us Apart and How They Can Bring Us Together, to think about argument from a more perhaps peaceful perspective than is my general nature.
Don't you get so annoyed with people who disagree with you, though? Because obviously you're right. I mean, you're well-read, you're exceptionally well-educated, you are well-connected, and people still have the temerity to argue with you. I'm not going to bother on that particular front, but I am curious as to why you liked this book by Ian Leslie.
I did like it because it's trying to find the common ground. But I think that one of the key lessons that I really did take out of it is that you can't argue well on your own point, no matter how strong your opinions are, unless you are able to argue your opponent's side. Once you can understand your opponent's arguments and steel man them, as they say, coming out of like the rationalist community, for example, as opposed to straw man them, that is, try argue the other person's side as well as you could argue your own. Only then can you really be confident that your own point of view is actually firm ground to be standing on. So I really thought that was a really good perspective to try and look at things, particularly complicated issues where people do have very different opinions on, where emotions come into play. I think that's a way to make arguments almost more fun again. I certainly enjoy having a good argument. I know not everyone else does, and I'm quite sure that not everyone enjoys arguing with me, but you can become a better arguer if you start to try and understand the other person's perspective. And there's a story that he writes about the book about the Wright brothers, how they were brought up, obviously the guys that invented the first airplane that actually kind of flew a bit. And their parents brought them up to argue around the dinner table. It was a bit of a family hobby. In fact, their father encouraged them to argue, but he always made them argue both sides. So it became a bit of a game. I think that's quite an interesting way to think about difficult issues and to try and win people over to your side. Because if you can argue their point and do it better than them, perhaps they would be more open-minded to see some of your points too, because at least you are offering that olive branch. There's lots and lots of tactics that he does go into in the book. He has done his research.
Is it really any different to going to the school debating society where you know what the topic is, but you don't know whether you're going to be arguing for or against? You're simply handed a green or a red ticket, and that's your position, and you have to argue the position. It's such a great training ground, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very similar skills. I think what's different and what's more difficult in the real world is that our emotions get wrapped up in our opinions and on the sides that we're taking, particularly when we are being forced through conversation, through the way social networks are organized, through the way debates are structured in the public discourse, to pick a particular side, our argument or our point of view can become part of our personal identity. And that's when argument becomes destructive instead of constructive. And argument is essential really for progress, for coming up with new ideas, especially in the world of business, where you have to be able to be challenged on your ideas or on your new projects if you want to hope that they succeed. But when it becomes wrapped up in your identity, letting go of that or letting go of ground can be tied up in your ego. So that's another idea that Ian Leslie unpacks in the book, is how we should always give our opponent a way to back out or to concede ground gracefully without losing face. And I think we also have to think about that for ourselves too. At what point are we really sure about our point of view, and how much of that is tied up in our own emotions, our ego, and our understanding of who we are as a person, or even our political identity?
Conflict is critical, isn't it? I mean, conflict is critical to progress. You would think that the failure to be able to argue points of view, or a failure to be able to argue the rights and wrongs of a situation, actually is quite restrictive.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, conflict is essential for survival, never mind just for progress, right? Because we have to be able to solve problems around us too. Otherwise, you know, stagnation leads to death in a very sort of evolutionary, natural sense too. We have to be able to move forward. Problems become more complicated, so we have to be able to talk about them. And the alternative is stagnation and conformity, which is also not particularly healthy. Whether we're talking about relationships in a very nuclear sense, relationships where partners, romantic partners, don't fight tend to be actually less healthy and last less long than relationships where there is open conflict, not angry, violent conflict, but constructive conflict, where issues, where hurt feelings are spoken about and problems are resolved. The alternative is just sort of burying these problems and going nowhere.
And the same in the workplace, the same in a business context as well. I mean, you go into Absolutely. Negotiations with somebody and you go, well, I don't want to risk this contract, so I'm going to pretend to agree and not fight about the things I care about deeply. And 6 months into the agreement, there's complete disagreement and it all falls apart.
Yes, exactly. Even in a more sort of a domestic sense in the office, when you have a team that devolves into passive aggression and everyone's sort of sabotaging each other rather than talking about the real problems, it becomes some of the most obnoxious places to actually work. I mean, that's what office politics really is, right? This is where all the jokes come from. So airing those conflicts and going for a more verbal form of resolving of disagreements is definitely a much healthier place for any community or office or team or family or society to be in. But it is easier said than done. It's very hard to let go ground, and it's very hard to have an honest argument, which is also something that you and Leslie really stress. You have to be honest.
Absolutely. I mean, can you be honest if you're arguing the other side, though? I mean, if you're being so accommodating, you know the other person's an idiot, yet you're pretending to accommodate them in order to win the argument. There's something dishonest about that, isn't there?
No, not necessarily at all, because you're not telling lies. You are just being able to articulate their point from their point of view and to understand how they came to their, even if it is entirely wrong, conclusion. So you are making an honest effort to understand their point of view rather than being dishonest in pretending to believe their point of view, which
right.
is a different thing.
So how do we argue then effectively? Because when it comes to constructive discussion and debate and argument, people use the word argument very negatively. I think it can be used very positively. How do you make it helpful versus everything else, which is destructive and conflictual?
Yeah, so in the book, he comes up with 10 sort of points you can look at, but they really sum up, as another reviewer puts it, which I thought was really well, very much the same as the plot of just about any sort of Pixar or Disney movie that's designed for kids, where conflict is resolved by us getting to know the other person, us showing empathy, and that is treating our opponent as a fully fledged human being deserving of respect, and thirdly, by being curious. So if you go into arguments wanting to learn something, it becomes more fun for you and more fun for the other person. If we go into arguments simply to preach our points of view and we're not going out there, at least with it being open-minded enough to actually learn a new fact, or even just learn a bit more about the person you are arguing with and how they came to their conclusions, then you can, of course, argue in a lot more healthy sort of way.
But winning is important, right?
Well, I don't like to say so. That's not really the message of the book, but it is nice.
I know it's not the message of the book, but from your perspective, winning's important, right?
Winning is not the most important thing. The most important thing is converging on the truth, whatever that truth might be. And that's, of course, we can throw our minds back all the way to good old Socrates, who taught us to ask more questions and to try and use discourse and argument to converge on what the truth is. Even if we don't end up getting to the actual truth, because, you know, what science is telling us these days is it's a lot more complicated out there than we might like to believe, at least we are converging on a better sort of argument. We are converging on that truth and we are building consensus between us. So if we think about that as an argument to try and get to the right answer rather than to be right, that is a much more healthy way to look at these things.
Bronwyn Williams is the trend translator, the future finance specialist at Flux Trends, and the very mature debater and arguer of facts. Thank you very much, Bronwyn Williams, reviewing a book this evening entitled Conflicted by Ian Leslie. And she does like to push, she does like to challenge, and she does like a good argument, despite her very, very kind approach this evening. She could have torn me to pieces, she could have, but she didn't. I'm grateful.